Open your Bibles this morning, please, to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah chapter 28, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 736. Beginning with verse 1, we'll read responsively through verse 13. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 13, and in your Schofield Bible, page 736. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, who are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, for whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And let's read together the 13th verse. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken.
I'm borrowing a statement that Abraham Lincoln made. No, I did not hear him make it. Fellas, my microphone needs a little help here. I'm not sure what it is, but it's not like it always is. I did not hear Abraham Lincoln make it. I was sick the night he made that talk. But I'm borrowing a statement from Abraham Lincoln for my title this morning. My text is that amazing statement made twice in Isaiah 28. You need not look at it, but I will. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little and there little. Same thing is in verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little, there little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Our Heavenly Father, I want you to help me this morning, because I've got some people I sure do love that I want to help. So I pray you'd help me so I can help them. In other words, you help them, but use me as a conduit through which you can flow, and your love can flow, and your wisdom can flow, and your grace can flow, and your strength can flow. In Jesus' name, amen. A few statements I've heard from time to time. That's enough of that. Anything up there, that's enough of that. A few statements, look right this way now, from time to time in my life, have been used of God to change my life. I wish I had time to give you a dozen of them, but there would not be more than a dozen that have literally had an effect of transforming my life. Dr. Lee Robertson made a statement about 40 years ago at the Thornton Street Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, where he and I were preaching together, that transformed my life. One little line, he didn't realize it helped me. I'm sure he may have forgotten he said it, except I have tried to remind him time to time. He said this, "I'm always looking for ways to inspire Lee Robertson." I was always looking for ways to inspire my people. But he said, "I'm always looking for ways to inspire Lee Robertson." And I got thinking, I guess that's true. If I can inspire Jack Hiles, Jack Hiles will inspire my people with the overflow. And that changed my life. Many years ago, I heard a statement that was made supposedly by Abraham Lincoln. And I'm using it for my title this morning, and here's the statement. "I walk slowly, but never backward. I walk slowly, but never backward." I want you to look first at the little, I want to talk just a minute about the term never backward. Last Sunday morning, I think it was last Sunday, I spoke on that little cloud of pillar cloud by day, and how when the Israelites got to the Red Sea, the Egyptian armies were pursuing them. And God reached up and took that little cloud, or that cloud, and put that cloud behind them. And that pillar of cloud was between the Egyptian armies and the people of God. I said last week, that's the rear guard that God gave them. And I said that kept the Egyptian armies from attacking God's people, the Israelites. But it likewise did something else. It kept the Israelites from going backward. They could not go backward. They could not see to go backward. God was not only preventing the enemy from coming forward and catching them, but God was preventing the Israelites from being able to go back to Egypt. Now, that's the first thing I call your attention. Never backward. Never backward. Never backward. Never go backward. Once you start to college, don't go backward. Don't quit. Don't go home. Once you start, never backward. Forgetting the things behind you, pressing on toward those things which are before. I'm pressing on the upward way, not the backward way. The backward walk is never God's will. It's never pleasing to God. Now then, the sermon. Listen carefully to me. The sermon. The walk slowly. The walk slowly. In this text, in Isaiah 28, verses 10, and again in verse 13, it says that God does His work in His Word, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, a little here and a little there. All progress, all growth, real growth, is slow growth. The plant grows very slowly. You cannot see it growing. It's a little bit here and a little bit here. It's a little here and a little there. Just a little growth and a little more growth and a little more growth. Here a little, there a little, if you please. People ask me sometimes, and I use this just to illustrate, "Brother Howells, how did you lose your weight?" I lost almost 65 pounds. You say, "How did you lose it?" A little here and a little there. I lost a pound and a fifth a week for a year. Just about a pound and a fifth a week. Now, you try to lose 10 pounds a week. If I'd lost 10 pounds a week, I'd be about minus 500 right now. Now, I'm simply saying, "Brother Keith, you know what I'm talking about." And a little bit. No, I didn't go on one of those crash diets and try to lose 15 pounds in 2 weeks. Didn't do that. A little here, a little there. And that's why for 2 years I've kept my weight where it was 2 years ago. A little here, a little there. Now, don't misunderstand me. Folks never associate this with me. They're the house, always on a move. I'm always on a move, but I walk slowly. It was 11 years after I came to First Baptist Church Hammond before there ever was a school of any kind. I never walk backward, but I walk slowly. I walk slowly, but I don't walk backward. We don't start things quickly around here. I watch them, and I watch them, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait. And I'm simply saying that
that success is not an instantaneous thing. Everybody in America wants to get rich quickly. We want to make the lottery. And I'd like to ask, because I asked the politicians one time when they're here, if gambling is against the law, why does the government pass laws that you can gamble? And why don't they raid the church across the street when they have bingo games? I'm simply saying everybody wants to get rich quick. Casino. And I think what makes me upset, well, a lot of things make me upset, but one thing makes me upset is when I see a person cashing a welfare check at 7-Eleven so they can buy lottery tickets with my money. That's my money. I help give them that welfare check, and they'll take that welfare check and buy lottery tickets. Oh, I know the state of Illinois, the legislature, is passing a law now, I think about it, so that you can't cash checks at a casino. Well, look, dummies, down the legislature, they can cash at the bank and then go down to the casino and put the cash on it. I'm simply saying the only way you're going to cure it is cut out gambling altogether. I'm saying that gambling is nothing more than people wanting to get something without working for it and get rich quickly, but that's not the way. God's way is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, a little here and a little there. That's God's way. Take, for example, people saved the house. How'd you get so close to your people? Well, I got up one day and made a good sermon. Everybody fell in love with me. That's not true. First place, everybody hadn't fallen in love with me yet. But you know how I got close to the people here? Tell you exactly how. I got close to people little by little. For 35 years, going to my door and walking out to the waiting room and saying, who's next? And coming back inside the door and saying, have a seat. And they sit there and pour out their heart to me, and I try to help them. What, appointment by appointment, precept by precept, precept on precept, line upon line, little here, little there, appointment upon appointment, counseling session upon counseling session. I'm saying over one quarter of a million people have walked through the door into my office for counseling sessions in these 35 years and nearly 8 months. I'm saying over 250,000 people have walked through that door. No, the closeness that I feel to you and the love I have for you did not come with one big gush. And by the way, it doesn't come to anybody with one big gush. It's not love at first sight. It's love line upon line, precept upon precept, and a little here and a little there. And I'm saying that's the way I got close to my people. People oftentimes say, Brother Hiles, you have so many preacher friends. How did you get those preacher friends? Like precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, little here, little there. Last week in California, Tuesday afternoon, I had two appointments with preachers that needed help, needed counsel, and I think God used me to help them. 2 weeks ago, in Ohio, I think it was, in Maine, I had four preachers needed to see me on Tuesday afternoon. I saw two last week and four week before last. I'll see two or three this week. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. And now then, you look at this great auditorium that's packed and jammed, overflowing with preachers and full-time workers every year. When 7,000 people or more come to this auditorium, you know why they come? Because all these many years, a counseling session here, a phone call here, a Tuesday afternoon here. Every Tuesday, for example, almost every Tuesday, wherever I preach, they have preachers and missionaries and evangelists and assistant pastors and full-time workers meet, sometimes 10, sometimes 100. But I answer questions and counsel with them and talk with them. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are no shortcuts to success. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. We had a graduate. By the way, you preacher boys, you won't build your churches with big gushes. You'll build your churches line upon line, precept upon precept. And you won't build them on big days either. You'll build them on hospital visits. You'll build them on counseling sessions. You'll build them on funeral services. You'll build them on beautiful weddings. You'll build them on praying for your people. Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, little here, a little there. One of our graduates went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Rented a 5,000-seat auditorium to start a church in. Back in the days when Anita Bryant was very, very popular, he paid several thousand dollars to have Anita Bryant come that Sunday. and started his church with over 5,000 people there the first Sunday. Unfortunately, there was a second Sunday. And Anita Bryant, they couldn't afford Anita Bryant. First place, I wouldn't have anybody that charged me $5,000 to have him. I don't care who it was. In fact, the fellow charges me, I won't have him. I'll take an offering for him, but I won't let him tell me how much to pay him. I won't do it. And but anyway, enough of that. I thought I'd just get that off my chest a little bit. I'm trying to tell you that that church didn't last a month. And it won't last a month because you don't build churches with big days. You build churches with consistent preaching and Bible teaching and loving the people and caring for the people and pastoring the people. And it's line upon line, precept upon precept, little here and a little there. But everybody wants to do it the fast way, but the fast way is not the way that God does it. People sometimes say with the hounds, how did God use you to build such a great church? Would you like to know? I'll tell you exactly. 1.5 people a day for 36 years. Did you know if a preacher can go out and get two people a week, one couple a week in his church for 20 years, he'll have one of the biggest Sunday schools and fundamental churches? What you want to do is go out and start 15 bus routes the first Sunday and bring a bunch of bus kids in to destroy the building. I'm saying I'm for bus kids, and I've stuck my neck out for bus kids. But I'm saying if you build a church, you're going to build a church on house to house. You knock on this door, you ring this doorbell, you witness to this person, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, and God says it twice because it's sort of boring. That's the way you build it. It's sort of boring. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. But I tell you what, little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean in the present land. Now you build churches, little by little, little here, little there. Hey, you build marriages that way. Line upon line, precept upon precept, fuss upon fuss, gripe upon gripe. You, that's the way you build them. It's a little here and a little there, and a little here and a little there. How you learn the Bible? You learn the Bible little by little. No shortcut to learn the Bible, just read it. Just read it. And you learn precept upon precept, line upon line, little here, little there, and little by little, you learn the Bible. That's the way you do it. And by the way, let me say this. That's the way you recover from a heartbreak, too. People come to my office. Husbands left them. They want to recover right now. No, you won't do it that way. It's a little here and a little there. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little, little here and a little there. I'm simply saying anything that's worthwhile takes you a while to build. And I've said often, that which is good to have, you pay for it first and then you get it last. And that which is bad to have, you get it first and pay for it last and do some of you folks good to drive the old jalopy that you can afford one that you can pay cash for. And save all that interest. I'm not trying to tell you what to do about your business, but I am trying to tell you this old deal about, hey, I'll tell you what I got. Man, I got a credit card. Yeah. It's like my wife. She thinks as long as she got more checks in the book, there's more money in the bank. But I mean, boy, that's it. I got a credit card. I can buy it now. In the first place, you could buy two of them if you'd wait till you get to save the money and pay for it and get rid of the credit card. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm not talking about shouldn't have a credit card. I've got to have one because I travel. You can't rent a car without a credit card at an airport. And I've got one. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This old stuff of getting rich quick and you get married and you get your washing machine and get your dryer and get your dishwasher and get the living room suit and get the bedroom suit. That's a pretty sorry way of living. I'm trying to tell you, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. Every once in a while, somebody said, Brother House, God's called me to preach. You have a correspondence course? Suppose I have a heart attack this afternoon. I don't plan to have one, but suppose I did. My wife called Dr. Gary Go sitting up there. And I was thinking this morning, how many people that man's been a blessing to. I was at my dentist the other day, and he told me how he had been to Dr. Geragos and what a great man he was. But suppose they call Dr. Geragos. Dr. Geragos comes, and he gets me on that table, gets that knife out, sharpens it, licks his lips. He's finally getting to get me back. I've been jabbing him all these years. And I say, Doc, could I ask you a question? Where'd you go to medical school? I didn't go. I took correspondence. I would break the world 100-yard dash record getting out of that hospital, I guarantee you for sure. And yet some of you preachers, you come in and say, you think all I need, suppose I went to Doc here goes up there, he has that thing, those scissors ready to slash my gizzard, and Doc, I said, where'd you go to school? He said, I went a year to medical school. You little peanut head preacher boys, you want your people to ask you, how long did you go to school? I went a year to Hiles Anderson. Or I took correspondence courses. Or suppose I went to Dr. Geragos and he's operating on me. This message this morning is called, I Walk Slowly with Dr. Geragos. I said, Dr. Geragos, where'd you go to school? He said, I went to Johnson's Barber College. That's why I got these scissors. I want to know if he's been to medical school. I want to know if he's done his internship. I want to know if he's prepared. And by the way, he didn't prepare in 1 year, and you can't prepare to be a preacher in 1 year either. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. 4 long years in college. Taking courses, he wondered, what in the world has this got to do with operating on somebody's heart? But taking course after course, and study after study, and test after test, and book after book, and page after page, and page after page, and line upon line, until finally, he's probably the best heart surgeon in this area. But it didn't come shortly and quickly. It came a little here and a little there. I don't care what it is you're going to do. You're not going to succeed if you get impatient and don't build thoroughly from the ground up. Your marriage, your home, your business, your finances, a house, a ministry, a church. It's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, and a little by little. I remind you this. It was little by little for Moses for 40 years getting ready to lead the Israelites. 40 years in preparation. It was 3 years alone in the Arabian desert for the Apostle Paul to get ready. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there, a little growth here, a little growth there, a little Bible here, a little Bible there, a verse here, a verse there, a little growth here, a little growth there. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Anybody home? 120 years to build the ark. Of course, you'd have built it in 2 or 3 months. And you'd have gotten baptized the first day. Your ark could be where the Titanic is right now. The bottom of the sea. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God said that His work is done. You take Ann and Adoniram Judson. They went to Burma. A little here, a little there. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Line upon line, precept upon precept. For 7 years, didn't even have a convert. A little bit here. A little bit there, and finally a convert, and another, and they turned a whole continent toward God. Why? Because the word is patience. Just line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there, little by little. That's the way you get the job done. My books. I've written 42 books. I think it's 42. You know where they've been written? A paragraph here at the airport. A chapter on an airplane. At midnight, waiting for an airplane in Phoenix, Arizona, dictating a book. sitting up on an airplane in wee hours of the morning, dictating a few lines, a few chapters. The late Senator Everett Dirksen walks down the aisle years ago while I was doing it, sees me there, only man in the wee hours of the morning, my light on besides his, everybody else on the airplane asleep. He says, young man, don't know who you are, what you do, but you're going to be a success at it. How did I write those books? Driving in a car in the mountains of California with a dictaphone machine in my hand and notes in my lap and trying to miss all the trucks on the highway. Line up on line. Precept upon precept. I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, you just keep on going. You just keep on. I know a preacher that started a church in a big city in this Midwestern part of the country. Started the city. On his 1 year anniversary, he had nobody. But he kept on and kept on and kept on. He built a great church running a couple of thousand people, average attendance. Why? Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line. Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, asked her how she wrote it, and she said, quote, snatching an hour here and an hour there. Uncle Tom's Cabin was written little by little. Philip Brooks, one of my favorite men in history, wrote his famous dictionary. Somebody said, where did you write that dictionary? He said, I wrote it at my boarding house while waiting to be served my meals. While others were sitting there doing nothing. First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana has not been built in my study. It's been built on airplanes. It's been built in airports. As I thought about you and studied and prepared and prayed and planned, trying to get the job done while others are out eating cheese quarter pounders, I go to my room and I go to work a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. And the difference is not the glamour or the loud preaching or kicking over microphones or little funny stories. The answer is keep on moving, never fast, but never backward, always slow, never backward, always slow, never backward. Keep on prodding, keep on working, keep on moving. That's the way you build anything. Caesar wrote his commentaries in his chariot during his campaigns. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Little here. Little there. Little by little. Elihu Burritt became the greatest linguist of his day. Between jobs at his shoemaker's bench. He'd get finished with a job at his shoemaker's bench, study and work, and became the most famous linguist of his day. Now you listen to me. You listen. The difference in success and faith. Listen to me, young people. Listen. Hey, over here in this section. Listen to me while I'm preaching. Cut out your talking and laughing at each other. I got something to tell you, and you need to hear what Dr. Jack Hiles has to say. Some of you young pipsqueaks think you know it all. The truth is, you don't know any of it yet. But you could learn some of it if you listen to somebody that knows a bit about it. I'm 68 years old, punko. I'm 68 years old. I've been living long enough for you to sit up and listen to what I've got to say. It goes for your little glamour puss there beside you, too. You don't like my preaching? They won't get mad at you across the street. I'm going to, after a while, and confess my sin for getting mad. But you listen to what I got to tell you. Success does not come overnight. It comes by keeping on prodding, keep on going. You get hit, but you go a little bit more, and you get hit, but you go a little more, and you get hit, but you go a little more, and you keep on going. And as Lincoln said, I move slowly, but never backwards. Revolution of 1600 was over. Charles II had succeeded his father as King of England. He was proclaimed as the greatest man on the European continent. But nobody knows what he did now. But not far away from Charles II was a Baptist preacher in a jailhouse, going to get his milk for the day. And taking off the milk bottle stopper off of his milk and writing a little teensy bit of a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And every day, John Bunyan, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, a little here, a little there, on the milk bottle stoppers, and 12 years he stayed in that prison. On the milk bottle stoppers, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and you, what you want to do, you want to write a book in a week and get it published. Tell O.J. Simpson what I said. Tell these publishers, listen, one reason we're not putting out any literature worth reading today, we're getting it out in a hurry. You don't write a book in a hurry. You don't succeed anything in a hurry. It's constant work. Don't quit. Don't stop. Move a little bit, but never go backward. After Bismarck had defeated the French, 1870s, he was acclaimed the greatest man on his continent. But he wasn't. Who knows what Bismarck did except Dr. Evans? Because not very far away in a laboratory was a Frenchman named Louis Pasteur, who was plugging away in his laboratory. A little by little, precept upon precept, precept upon precept.